This is Book Public from Texas Public Radio. I'm Yvette Benavides. On this episode, I speak to Ada Limon about her latest poetry collection, Startlement. Ada Limon is the 24th United States Poet Laureate. She has a remarkable gift for articulating the messy, beautiful, and often difficult parts of being human, exploring themes of love, loss, grief, and our essential connection to the natural world. She has a unique ability to find the profound in the everyday, from a groundhog in her garden to the vastness of the cosmos. Her newest work, Startlement, New and Selected Poems, is a collection spanning two decades of her career. The word startlement, as she explains in this conversation, can be a collective noun for poems like A Murder of Crows or A Murmuration of Starlings. It's a concept that speaks to the sudden, unexpected jolt of wonder and awe that poetry can inspire, that moment of deep attention where we are reminded of our shared existence and the vibrant, strange beauty of life itself. The book, Startlement, is a retrospective that spans two decades. That's six books of poetry, as well as 21 remarkable new poems. Limon's poetry is an invitation to meet the world with an open mind, but also an open heart. She encourages us to embrace our strangeness and our tenderness, and to bear witness to the arc of all we know. In a world that often moves too fast, she reminds us of the power of slowing down and simply paying attention. To explore the practice of startlement with the poet herself, discussing how her work helps us decenter ourselves and foster a deeper curiosity about our place in the universe, is a rare honor. But as we see, her poetry speaks to so many the world over because she is a poet of sincere goals to be with us in moving through contentious and uncertain times with a measure of hope, humor, and compassion. I spoke to Ada Limon about her latest collection, Startlement. Ada, I love the word startlement. It's actually a new word for me, but it's so kind of perfect. I love a good and obscure collective noun that then I consider like almost indispensable as like the only way to really name a grouping. Tell me about this word and how it names this collection.
Well, I was trying to think, first of all, thank you so much for that. I was trying to think of something that could hold space for all of the work from the, or a lot of the work from the previous collections. And then I was also thinking about what it was that linked my work and my life together thus far. I kept thinking about being bewildered, being in awe, being in wonder, being curious, being both hurt and surprised by beauty. And when I came across the word startlement for the first time, which was, it's a Shakespearean word, I remember loving it. And I had put it as a title for a poem that I wrote for the National Climate Assessment last or 2 years ago. And so that I knew that poem was going to be in the book. And as I was playing around with titles and trying to think of something, I thought, no, it's one word. It has to be one word. And all of it had to be what it was to be in wonder and to be bewildered and to be pierced by the world, pierced by the world. And so as that came to me, I thought, well, yeah, now it seems like it makes sense as a collective noun for poems, the way we think about collective nouns for birds, like A Murmuration of Starlings, A Murder of Crows, and so forth. I thought, well, maybe it's a startlement of poems.
I love this idea, and I love that your examples have to do with birds. I was thinking of A Charm of Finches. So I love that there is now this word that we can forever think of when we are looking at a collection like this. Do you have a copy of the book? I wonder if you would read Startlement?
Oh, yes, I'd be so happy to. So this is a poem I wrote for the National Climate Assessment, which is a congressionally mandated report that tells us how we're doing as a nation as we measure the effects of the climate crisis. on our world. And this is the poem. Startlement. It is a forgotten pleasure. The pleasure of the unexpected blue-bellied lizard skittering off his sunspot rock. The flicker of an unknown bird by the bus stop. To think perhaps we are not distinguishable, and therefore no loneliness can exist here. Species to species in the same blue air. Smoke, wing flutter buzzing, a car horn coming. So many unknown languages to think we have only honored this strange human tongue. If you sit by the riverside, you see a culmination of all things upstream. We know now we were never at the circle center. Instead, all around us, something is living or trying to live. The world says, what we are becoming together. The world says, one type of dream has ended and another has just begun. The world says, once we were separate, and now we must move in unison.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's so lovely to hear you read it. I've read this poem so many times, but it's so lovely to hear you read it.
Thank you.
So this idea of startlement and how there is a moment of startlement in this realization that so many unknown languages to think we have only honored this strange human one, and that we were never at the circle's center.
Mm-hmm.
Those are hard things for some people to consider and to accept. And I find over and again with your poetry these sorts of homages to the natural world, to the animal world. Have you always been so taken with the natural world and the animal world, even as a young person, maybe even before you started writing poetry?
Yes. I think it's always where I felt my most alive, my most awake. I actually just went for a hike this morning and I just got back. And I was thinking where I was hiking was where I grew up hiking. So it's the same trees I've known and the same creek beds and streams and watching them fill and empty and fill and empty as the years have gone by. And I feel like I was raised by them as much as I was raised by people. And I feel as if we know each other. And I've always said that I don't get lonely. I miss people. You know, I miss specific people. I miss people. But I don't get lonely. And I think that that has started when I was a child, of knowing that I was in the presence of trees and birds and animals and plants, and knowing that I wasn't alone.
How marvelous to be able to be surrounded by the same trees from your childhood and to not feel alone when you're alone. So you do have the line, to think perhaps we are not distinguishable and therefore no loneliness can exist. You can miss people, but you won't be lonely for it.
Yeah.
It's lovely to think of that. The poem opens with the pleasure of the unexpected blue-bellied lizard.
Yeah.
It's such a specific little creature, and I'm not going to say an unlikely creature in the panoply of animals in your books.
Yeah.
It makes perfect sense to have a blue-bellied lizard among them in the menagerie. But tell me about these little moments that just serve your poetry. And I think perhaps I'm asking the question. You mentioned the Fifth National Climate Assessment. I think I'm asking the question from the vantage point of 2025.
Yeah. You know, I think that just a small side note of the blue-bellied lizard, which is also called the Western Fence Lizard, but I was speaking with a friend and they said, well, I don't like to call them the Western Fence Lizard. I never knew that that was what it was also called. And she said, I don't like to call it the Western Fence Lizard because it was around before fences.
Oh.
And I love that so much. And I think about it all the time. And now when I see them, I think, oh, yeah, you were around before fences. You know, we talk about it in poetry, and you said the word like these little moments. And I think that there's something very true about that, the small worlds, these little things, right? Mm-hmm. But I also think that they're everything. That is our life. The moments that make up our hours, that make up our days, are our life, is our life. And I think that it's very easy to surrender to the terror and darkness that surrounds us right now in this moment in time, both as we witness planetary destruction and also as we witness society's implosion and the rise of greed and hate and all of these things that are so hard to see that come in tandem with human suffering. But I think that that in some ways has always been true. It's always been true that there is both, wonder and pleasure and small moments of ease and human touch and love and a flower coming up. And all of those things have existed while great horrors have continued to exist as well. And I think that in this year, in this moment, the work is heavier to not surrender to the larger pull of it's all over, you know?
Yeah.
Of this is it.
Yeah.
And I think that, there's a lot of danger in surrendering to that. That tug of despair is very dangerous. Because how can you build community? How can you galvanize hope? How can you, and hope is not, maybe that's not the right word. Maybe it's just, how can you do something, right? You know, if I go to my little local creek bed and clean up the trash that has washed down or someone has left or whatever it is, if I go and I think, well, it doesn't matter because there's trash everywhere, right? Well, then I'm never going to clean it up. But so I think that there's so much to be said for these little moments / big moments that make up our life. And if we miss it, and if we don't pay attention to it, we may miss our entire moment on this earth.
That's so profound, because those small things are always there. Our gaze is in the horizon beyond the smallest things. And really the smallest things, as you say, they do comprise our lives too.
Yeah, and everything, in many ways, everything is ritual. You know, you can think, oh, you know, I have to do my laundry. to do my laundry, and then I have to go somewhere and I have to do this. And or you can think, okay, like, what if I focused on this task in front of me and think, okay, how do I do this in a way that feels useful? How do I feel useful in this world? Can I call a friend that needs me while I fold? Can I, can I reach out to someone? Can I give something? Can I tell someone I need something, you know, while I do this small thing? But I don't want to give up on the opportunities of those moments. And I think poetry is always an ode to that. It's always bearing witness, and it's bearing witness to the fact that we are always bearing witness.
Yeah. You say something that reminds me of your poem, The Endlessness.
Mm.
I wonder if you can read that one.
Oh, I'd be so happy to. The Endlessness begins the last section of the book, which is the new portion of the book. The Endlessness. At first I was lonely, but then I was curious. The original fault was that I could not see the lines of things. My mother could. She could see shapes and lines and shadows, but all I could see was memory. What had been done to the object before it was placed on the coffee table or the nightstand, I could sense that it had a life underneath it. Because of this, I thought I was perhaps bad at seeing. Even color was not color, but a mood. The lamp was sullen, a candlestick brooding and rude with its old wax crumbling at its edges, not flame, not a promise of flame. How was I supposed to feel then about moving in the world? How could I touch anything or anyone without the weight of all of time shifting through us? I was not, or I did not think I was, making up stories. It was how the world was, or rather, it is how the world is. I've only now become better at pretending that there are edges, boundaries, that if I touch something, it cannot always touch me back.
Thank you. There's something in this book that I'm wondering, as you were pulling these poems together from your six collections, and you have, as you say, this new section, Startlement, this new section of poems. Mm. Was there anything that surprised you?
I think there was many things that surprised me, but as you may have noticed, I'm surprised by everything. I'm like, oh, I get to get up today. I think that I am who I always was. I am who I always was.
Wow.
Strange sex.
That's so beautiful. I am who I, because you have been through so much through the course of your writing life.
Yeah. Life.
And
you're one.
Yeah. It's
true.
Yeah. Do you want to say more?
No, that was, I think, the thing that surprised me the most was she's there.
Yeah. This collection comes after this, again, this very significant time in your life as U.S. Poet Laureate. It's a position that brought poetry, as you know, into the public sphere. That's what it does. And truly, I know people personally who maybe don't know a lot about poets or poetry, but they know who you are.
Mm.
And I just find that so fascinating and so beautiful. And maybe it's a testament to how open you are to share your work, to be out there among the public. And I do wonder how this kind of shift in this very public profile that you have, you know, social media notwithstanding, and people sharing things about you and all of this, how that influences even your writing practice, or how that influences you as an artist.
I have to forget about it.
Yeah.
I just forget about it. Sometimes I forget about it so much that when I go to give readings, I get very surprised, you know, that people show up or that they've read books. That, it's such a beautiful, overwhelming gift of generosity that anyone reads anything I've ever written. And that can move me very deeply. And yet at the same time, in order to write, I have to forget that anyone might read it. It's not that I'm not interested in a reader, because oftentimes I am thinking about a reader, but I have to think, oh, this is for, I'm going to write this for my mom to read. I'm going to write this for my three poetry friends, you know,
yeah.
And I'll think, or I'm just going to write this for myself because I need to work through something, whatever it is, or I'm, you know, writing to some sort of greater reverberation of the world. But I can't think of a readership necessarily, because I think that would shift too much of what my life's purpose is, you know? And I really want to make things that feel true and authentic, and also allow me to be strange, allow me to be weird in all the best ways, and maybe all also the not the good ways. And I need to embrace that wholly when I'm working. And so a lot of times I have to lay that down. I think that when I served as the laureateship, that was the thing that surprised me the most, was that it's less about the work that you make and more about who you are, which is the first time that had happened to me in the public sphere. Because most of the time it's about a book or it's about individual poems. And this was about me, you know? And so I felt the most comfortable serving in that role once I had my project completed and done and we were working on it so that I could actually talk about that work. Then I felt very comfortable. But in the very beginning, when I was first gave my inaugural reading at the Library of Congress, I was much more nervous, I'd say. And I'm usually not a nervous person, but I can be nervous, but not when I read. And I was feeling that sense of where is this disconnect? And I realized it was because, oh, this felt more about me than it did feel about the work, all the interviews, etc. And so that was an interesting experience for me and something that I learned a lot from, that I feel best when I have something to put in front of me. And so that in some ways I feel a little safer in the background.
I've been thinking about you as a poet who's constantly managing, holding these tensions between a very challenging world, as you were discussing earlier, and injustices, and then suffering in life. Always up against, as you said, your wonder and awe of the tiniest things. And I think about your book, The Hurting Kind, and there is a section in Startlement with poems from The Hurting Kind. And I love that play on words of the hurting kind, the kind who hurt, versus the hurting kind, the kind people who hurt and are still kind. I just love this. And the poem lately for me, A Good Story, is one that I always go back to, and I've been looking at it again with Startlement, sort of within the context of this collection, and thinking about our world and 2025 and where we are still in Startlement, still the hurting kind, still working so hard, as you were just saying, to just try to keep on with hope or something like it, at least not despairing, but with hope or something like it. I wonder if you can read A Good Story.
Oh, I'd be so honored. Yes. And thank you for that. You know, this is a poem I wrote for my stepfather, A Good Story. Some days, dishes piled in the sink, books littering the coffee table, are harder than others. Today, my head is packed with cockroaches, dizziness, and everywhere it hurts. Venom in the jaw, behind the eyes, between the blades. Still, the dog is snoring on my right, the cat on my left. Outside, all those red buds are just getting good. I tell a friend, the body is so body, and she nods. I used to like the darkest stories, the bleak snippets someone would toss out about just how bad it could get. My stepfather told me a story about when he lived on the streets as a kid. How he'd some nights sleep under the grill at a fast food restaurant until both he and his buddy got fired. I used to like that story for some reason. Something in me that believed in overcoming. But right now, all I want is a story about human kindness. The way once, when I couldn't stop crying because I was 15 and heartbroken, he came in and made me eat a small pizza he'd cut up into tiny bites until the tears stopped. Maybe I was just hungry, I said. And he nodded, holding out the last piece.
Oh, it brings tears to my eyes. It's so a poem about everything. Of how we just are the hurting kind.
appreciate you having me read that poem because it makes me think so much of it. I was just with him yesterday, and I have the honor of living back in my hometown, and one of the best things about being here is being able to now give some of that care in return.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Ada Limón, I cannot tell you what an honor, what a thrill this is for me. Thank you so much for talking to me today.
Oh, the pleasure was mine, truly. Thank you so much for your deep reading and your care.
Ada Limón is the author of Startlement, New and Selected Poems. This has been Book Public from Texas Public Radio. Write to us at bookpublic@ppr.org. Jacob Rosati composed our theme music. Dan Katz is Texas Public Radio's news director. I'm Yvette Benavides.